In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Sure?
Yep.
Good, because it started.
You did?
I did.
Oh.
Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast, the only one out there, recording in stereo.
Really? I didn't know we were recording in stereo.
We are. I don't think it matters.
Oh.
Because we still have one mic.
If we had two microphones, like, people would hear, like...
One channel would be one mic and one would be the other.
In one ear and the other, kind of?
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh.
Probably, but I mean, I figured out how to set it to record in stereo, but we still have one mic, so what I'm seeing is now two tracks that are looking identical. So it probably won't matter. Those of you out there in Podcastville, tell us if this episode sounds any different. Anyway, welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast. I am Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode...
59. Which I checked with you right when I came through the door.
I know. Give you credit and everything.
I know I looked really smart there for a second, but I'm not.
Just for a second. But now... reality has reasserted itself. What are you looking at?
Settlers of Catan? Yeah, because I watched...
did you watch Tabletop?
Yeah.
Episode 2? I've only watched one. That's the travel version. So it's smaller and it doesn't fall apart. But yeah.
But the show's called
Tabletop.
Tabletop. And it's from Geek and Sundry on...
Geek and Sundry
the
channel.
YouTube channel. Which...
How was the second episode? Is it good?
I liked it. It's weird. I don't know. I really wasn't sure. I think I told you this before. When I watched the first one, I just kind of wanted to see how they did it and what it was about.
Yeah.
And, you know, about six times while I was watching, I thought, okay, I've seen enough of this. But I just kept watching.
Yeah.
Clear to the end. And this one, I just watched it, and it was very... I don't know why, but it was entertaining and interesting.
It's a very comfortable length.
Yeah.
Because to me, I'm like, a YouTube video, it's a half hour. What the heck? It's a very comfortable length. I didn't get bored. If it had been much longer, I might have. But it was just right.
Well, and I like how at the beginning they explain the very basics of the game, and then with
but more than I thought they were going to. They give you what the sense of the game is about.
Well,
I thought they were just going to be like, "Here's a game, we're going to play it now."
Well, I suppose
like,
so,
I was surprised.
But if they'd explained too much at the beginning, it would be boring.
Oh yeah.
But what was cool was they explained just enough for you to get what the game's about, like you said. And then while they're playing the game, if someone does something that hasn't been explained, a little thing pops up, a graphic pops up that explains it, and it's I don't know, it's kind
of
nice.
It's a good introduction to games without it's not an instruction of the game.
No.
And it's not just watch famous people play a game.
No.
But it's pretty fun, yeah.
But it's really, I don't know, if someone would have pitched it to me, I would have thought, I'm not sure how this is going to work. But
then they say, did I mention Will Wheaton?
Well, see,
and then you're like, sold!
I mean, I like Will Wheaton, all right, but I don't know if that would have sold me. But
that's what you don't know. Speaking of which, tonight is his episode, his most recent episode of Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
Which I think is maybe his fourth. I don't know. I don't watch the show regularly.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
I have seen two Will Wheaton episodes, but.
So, yeah, I. you know, because I've subscribed to the channel, so I get little email updates when they post and stuff, and. I don't know. I just like the first two anyway. I don't know if I'll continue liking them.
I subscribe to the channel and the Nerdist channel on three different emails to be helpful. That being said, I only get weekly updates and I do not read them. I just delete them. I just want it to be helpful. If I want to go see stuff, I will just go and look.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it's a pretty cool little show. If any of you guys listening like board games, and I'll bet a lot of you do, it's pretty fun to watch.
It is, I would agree, at least from the one I have seen. Yeah, it is good.
I thought the second one was good.
Yeah. So, how was your week?
It was good.
Do you consume any decent media?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I did go see Hunger Games last night.
Oh, you had not seen it yet?
No.
And? Well, okay. First of all, did you read the books?
No.
Okay, so, lay it on me.
Well, I still don't like the premise at all. I think it's... I just can't get into it. Other than that, it was a very well put together film, I thought.
And that was sort of my problem. Not even necessarily the premise. I mean, it's not an enjoyable premise, but I mean, I understand. The story, I was just like, I don't really care.
Well, it wasn't an issue of caring. It was, I don't know.
It's supposed to be awful.
I know, but
that's the point.
But it, some degree of, I got to be able to plug into it somehow. I mean, I don't have a problem suspending disbelief or anything like that. But if I just don't get it, if it just doesn't seem to me like something that would actually happen.
Well, and that is the thing. The entire premise of Hunger Games is largely based on what happened when people were really stupid. It is.
Well, I could
again,
now,
because I can actually see that as a potential dystopian future. It's not a good idea, and
no,
it's not rational, but I can totally see it happening.
Now, if the people who were coming from each district were between the ages of 18 and 30, then I can understand. But between the ages of 12 and...
That's how you make 18, it hurt. They stick around just long enough for you to like them.
I just can't... You know, the idea is that, oh, they're so downtrodden, and they just can't, you know, help it. And this is their only hope, that one of these kids goes and wins. I just can't see it. I just can't see that ever happening, you know? I can't see the people... I can see you marginalizing a group, you know, in this case, poor people, to the point where everyone just thinks they're animals or whatever. But even in those situations, the dominant group and the marginalizing group almost always has a soft spot for the kids, even if they come from a marginalized group. I just can't... It's something about that just... I can't... it just didn't seem very realistic to me. Not even in a, you know, messed up future or whatever sense. So I... You know, it seemed to me like it was a sort of not very well thought out vehicle for, you know, some kind of specific romance story, which, from what I understand from the 16-year-old in my house who's read the books, the whole romance angle is going to be very interesting in the future installments, because you haven't read the books either?
No.
And I wanted to ask you something.
The romance angle was definitely not interesting so far.
Well, no. And I don't want to ask too much about it because I don't want spoilers for the film or the books if nobody's read them. But because there was something I noticed in the film that I didn't think was very obvious. And
that they can make holograms be real and they
didn't really explain that? Something about the romance that wasn't obvious. But I noticed it anyway. And
okay, potential Hunger Games alert spoiler. If William phrases this wrong, people get ready. Go.
No, like I said, the person who's read the book said, "Oh yeah, that's, you know, that's right. That there is that little problem with the romance." But I don't think that a person just casually watching the film would have noticed it.
Well, I was pretty casually watching it. So what was it?
Well, let me just ask you this: okay. Did you walk away from the film feeling like, you know, the main female character fell in love with the kid that she was in the game with?
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Well, no.
Then never mind.
No.
So, yeah, I wondered if the casual viewer would have thought that.
No.
Okay.
The really casual, fairly stupid one might.
Really?
The one who's really not paying attention.
Yeah, I suppose.
I could see how somebody would, but I didn't, and I can't speak for the producer. I was about to try.
The thing is, I often overthink, you know, movies. So
you clearly have already from your description of why this premise didn't work for you.
But so I don't know what other people notice, and of course I don't fault other people for not noticing these things, because nobody should watch films the way I do. But so I wasn't sure if that was something other people noticed too, or if it was just me.
No.
Okay.
In fact, I think they did that pretty well, honestly.
Oh, okay, good.
I think that's what they were trying for, and I think they did it
well. Oh, they were trying for that, I think.
I assume that's going to be a thing later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, well... And
but they didn't beat you over the head with it.
No,
like
and
they
here's the
do.
Other thing. Okay, people, I may movies. Dip this into spoiler territory. Obviously, she can't, because then the stuff that happened in the beginning with the other guy would make absolutely no sense.
The stuff that happened? I mean...
They clearly had a bond and shit, and it was... Before other things, you thought it was going to be a romance about them.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so... If she just totally was down with this other guy and they were a couple now, like, that would have made no sense whatsoever.
Okay, I suppose.
At least as a standalone movie, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me.
But, yeah, that's really, I don't really have anything else meaningful to talk about. So, talk about your week, then.
You had trouble with the age range in the premise. You definitely overthought it.
Well, it's not just that. There's a lot of things, but that's just one thing. I just can't. I don't know. I don't think you could tell even the most downtrodden population, well, we're going to take your 12-year-old kids and put them in an arena to kill each other. I just don't think that you would get by with that. And then the rest of the time, you know, he's talking about how, oh, well, hope is stronger than faith, but you don't want too much. You don't want too much killing children either. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's
to me.
Why they don't do very much.
He's familiar with the Holocaust, right?
Well, there is that.
Well, okay, sure, but that's part of it.
For those of you who didn't listen because you couldn't hear, the producer said he's familiar with the Holocaust, right? I was wondering when the podcast would finally go to the Holocaust, and apparently it was episode 59.
Now you know.
And I'm sure Mark's going to tell me that we've already been there before, and he'll tell me when, but.
Well, but see, the thing about the Holocaust is that a lot of people were largely ignorant about what was going on, aside from a select few who were sick people, I'll grant you. But also, yes, the Holocaust, exactly. I mean, I presume that's part of the history of this story. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I have a problem really with any story that tries to... In the future, bring people back to, you know, the Roman Colosseum or anything like that. I mean, I'm not saying that can't happen, but if it's going to happen, you're going to have a better setup than just, oh, there was some kind of revolt in a couple districts and they quashed it. Now they're having these games. You know, there's got to be, I don't know, more time has to have passed or.
Well, I believe that. We're implying that a shit ton of time has passed.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. It just...
I got the impression that this was long, long ago when they had the military dominance to enforce it, and it didn't really matter what the district said. And then, over time, it's become part of the culture.
Well, maybe. I mean, like I said, I haven't read the book, so I don't know. But it just didn't... Whenever anyone's talked about it, and now seeing it in the film, it just didn't... resonate with me. It just seemed like I might be able to believe something like this if it was set up a little bit different, but I don't even know how it would have to be set up. I'm not sure.
Well, folks, if you agree with William, call us on our phones here. Operators are standing by. Hello, yes, you're on the air. Well, you don't have a phone.
No.
We're not even live.
Nope.
It's a... Never mind. Well, instead then, you could write it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. You could write it there, and it would be like you're calling us on the phone, but on the internet, not live.
And typing it with your fingers.
And we may or may not read it. No, we will read it. I actually go to the blog multiple times a day.
But you haven't told me about your week yet.
I have not told you about my week yet.
Please do.
And you would be especially excited to hear about my week if you bothered to be on any social media. Because I had some very important stuff happen this week.
You had your baby?
You don't know about it. No, still there.
Okay.
Feel it kicking though. You want to feel it kick?
No, that's all right.
Okay. No, I have a food baby. Last night, I ate a steak so big... that I think, statistically speaking, you've never been a vegetarian now. Like, it was ridiculous. And I ate the whole thing. And afterwards, I said, it is 6:21. how many minutes you think before I violently regret this? And the producer said 634. She lost. So far, I have not. I mean, objectively, I do, but I haven't, like...
Had any...
Haven't been grabbing my stomach going, oh, I ate too much, or, you know, other repercussions that were too tasteful to talk about.
We are? Oh, my God.
We are.
Boy.
We have limits.
I just felt the standards and just rise a little bit.
What I'm saying I haven't pooped since dinner last night. I have not yet pooped since dinner last night.
And the standards go right
and
back
so
down.
I don't know how that's going to go.
Why didn't I
are
let it go?
Are you happy
why
now, William?
Why didn't I just let it go? I was happy. I was thrilled. I was like, wow,
the reason
standards.
You is you know deep in your heart, it's good radio. Damn good radio.
I don't know about that.
All right. What happened this week before that is I went to the doctor.
Oh, okay, good.
For my 3 months since I got diabetes to see how my diabetes is doing. Mm. My diabetes is fine, by the way. Having a good time. No. We tested a whole bunch of things, and here's what we found out.
What'd you find out?
I've lost yet another 9 pounds, so a total of 19 pounds in the last three and a half months.
Wow.
My cholesterol is still great. On all of it, you know, like total, HDL, LDL, all that jazz.
Okay.
And now that I have this cool MyChart thing where I can look up all my stuff online, I went back to look at what it was last time I had it checked, which was last June. Mm-hmm. It's actually better on every measure than it was last June. And it wasn't bad then either.
Hmm.
It was good. So whatever I'm doing is actually improving my cholesterol. I was worried in the other direction because when I'm sort of watching my carbs, I'm eating more fats and stuff. So I was worried that would be a thing. Hmm. So far, it's not. My A1C, which is the measure of the actual diabetes, it's a measure of percentage of a surface area on your red blood cells that have glucose molecules on them.
Hmm.
So it shows how much is in your blood. And it's every 3 months because that's about how long the red blood cells live. What you want for that figure... normal people without diabetes are 6% below. 6% to 6.5 is when they're nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Above 6.5, if you get that, you know, more than once, if you get that like two tests in a row, like I did, then they say you're diabetic.
Hmm.
Mine was 6.9, which is still fairly low.
Hmm.
So I just barely have the diabetes, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
When I originally got it, it was 6.9. This time, 6.0.
Really?
Yep. And my blood pressure is lower than I remember it being, like, ever.
Hmm.
And it's low enough that the doc says if I lose more weight by the next time we test, will probably take me off of one of my blood pressure meds.
Wow.
Yes.
That is excellent news.
It seems to be a lot about the weight. Like... I mean, like, I have always known that, but I mean, I lost 18 pounds. That is a very small amount in terms of percentage of what I weigh, and even in terms of percentage of how much I really should lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot.
Mm.
Had huge, all of this stuff is mostly because of that.
Because
I told him I was worried about the cholesterol. I was like, you're losing weight like this. The cholesterol is probably going to be fine. And the blood pressure, all this stuff. The weight loss is a big thing.
So really, you just have to keep kind of doing what you've been doing.
Forever, basically. I mean, eventually I'll want to even do better than that. But for the weight loss part, yes.
Huh.
For the weight loss and the control of the blood sugar.
And you're not finding that it's incredibly difficult what you're doing.
I'm finding it's kind of easy. And I'm feeling a little guilty about that, actually. Because people are really like, oh, good job. I know how hard and frustrating it is to lose the weight. And I'm like, it's not... But then I feel like I'm telling them, like, clearly you suck at it.
Well,
so I don't know. I may not be giving myself enough credit, but I don't think of myself as having a lot of willpower. The reason this is working is it's just damn easy for me. And, well, and I mean, it's not like I'm unmotivated.
No,
I want to keep my feet.
But also, there's you are doing something, I mean, as opposed to doing nothing. So, like you said, I think that you've got a lot of motivation.
Yeah. Maybe I've learned some things, and it's been a long time since I've even tried anything, so maybe I've just matured since the last time I actually gave a damn.
Well, maybe that's it, because the fact of the matter is, for most people, when they have a hard time doing something, it's mostly because they don't want to, you know, and they're just fighting themselves. It's not because the particular thing is all that difficult by itself, really, when you think about it. I mean,
well, and the fact that this is very non-restrictive, that this is very much approximate, and it's not very, you know, strict.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm just paying attention and doing what's smart. I don't feel like I'm following rules nearly as much.
Right.
And, you know, I have picked up over the concepts like you're doing something like this, and then one day you lose it and you just totally break the rule. You know, you eat a freaking gallon of ice cream or whatever. That doesn't mean it's over. That the next morning you're like, wow, that was bad. And you do it. You start over again.
Right.
And that was a concept that I don't think, because in the past I've been on like exercise regimes and stuff, and then I hadn't done it for a couple days, and I'm like, oh, clearly I'm off the wagon. You know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think that has helped. But, I feel weird about it because I don't feel like I'm doing a lot. But it's working.
Well, people are often amazed how easy something seems once they've just really decided they're going to do it.
And it's in small doses. I mean, I lost 9 pounds over the last basically 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real fast. And odds are it's going to be that speed or even less going forward.
Well, right.
Because in the beginning, you tend to lose more when you do stuff like this.
But there's a healthy... Well, you know, you don't want to lose too much weight at once.
And as long as it's slow and steady, and as long as, you know, every 3 months I'm going in there and I weigh less than the last 3 months, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
There's no,
I mean, as long as all those other things are good, like your cholesterol and your blood pressure and stuff,
there's really no rush.
You
want to keep
it in a healthy way.
Look on my cholesterol, because so much of that is genetic. And I found out, I hadn't realized on my dad's side, that I actually is a thing.
Oh.
Like, he takes cholesterol meds and stuff, so I want to keep a good eye out on that.
Right.
But so far,
Well, you know, they obviously caught the whole diabetes thing at a place where it was kind of early.
We knew it was coming, so we've been testing every year. Yeah.
Well, good. That's good.
Yeah, so hopefully this will be awesome. We'll have to see. Are you going to treat me the same when I'm all skinny and hot?
What?
When I lose all this weight and I become, like, super hot. That's how it works.
Oh, you mean good looking?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Tony, I'm not... It's not going to matter to me.
Okay, I just want to be sure. I don't want you to treat me any different. It's complicated. On Facebook...
I don't typically notice if men are hot, frankly.
So you didn't notice Lenny Kravitz in Hunger Games?
Well, I you know, when I saw him, I knew it was Lenny Kravitz. And I remember what you said. And it's like, it's just Lenny Kravitz.
Don't say that. It's disturbing.
I'm not into guys, so I just don't.
Facebook,
guys
are like,
if I see a guy walking down the street or in a movie, just as well be a fire hydrant. I don't pay attention to guys.
Well, on Facebook, somebody said, you keep losing weight like this, pretty soon we're going to bug you for pictures. And I'm like, can we wait till I'm at least like near 350 pounds? Like, I'm losing weight. I'm nowhere near let's take a picture of me weight. Like, I'm still pretty much a giant ball of fat. I'm just a slightly smaller giant ball of fat. Like, let's not go crazy. And it's not like I have comparison. And it occurred to me, I'm like, should I be taking a picture of my belly? And then I'm like, that's weird. So no. So I'm not doing that. But yeah, I mean, I mean, people who really like look at me say that they can notice some in my face and stuff like that. Mm. And my pants are definitely looser and stuff. But I don't really think, like, if you had a photo of me and then an unrelated photo of me, that you could tell, like,
I don't know.
Thing.
Maybe you could.
Yeah. No, it's too soon. But...
I mean, I see you once a week.
Yeah.
So...
And you haven't noticed Jack.
Well...
Because I'm a guy, so you think I'm a fire hydrant.
No, that's part of it.
What if there's a fire... Do you just grab the nearest guy with a wrench and try?
I said
and
they
get
could just
water
as well
to be?
Look. But I see you every week, so
do you hook up fire hoses.
So
to guys?
I notice a gradual
kind of gay.
It's a gradual change. Like the people who see you every day might not notice either.
Well, people who see me every day are the people who've been saying this.
Huh.
Well, okay, one of them wasn't, but
I would think someone would notice if the last time they saw you was, say, you know, 6 months.
Weren't you taller? They'd say.
Anyway.
Okay. We killed a lot of time, so.
We did? Are you done talking about your week?
Yeah, I think that was mostly it.
Okay.
Did I say that I got the PS2 or PS3 copy of Assassin's Creed 2?
I think you said that the other week.
Yeah, I finally got that, and I'm still loving that. And I just bought, it's not here yet, but I finally bought Mass Effect 3 because they had a deal of the day where it was like $30.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So I bought that, so I'll probably play that next. Oh! We have started City Creation in earnest on my Dresden Files game.
Oh, okay.
We got a lot done. It's really interesting. It's very tricky and at times frustrating and a lot of work and kind of scary for me, but very rewarding.
Oh, good.
Because getting everybody together, this is sort of herding cats thing of like, because we all have ideas and we're all good at that, but it's like, I have to focus them enough that we actually get something that we can write down.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, I don't want to quash anybody's thing, but then it gets weird. And I'm so freaked out because I'm not being able to prep. Because I don't know what the story looks like. At this point, I don't even know what the city looks like. And so it's very weird for me to be going into things like this knowing so little. But on the other hand, the stuff they're coming up with is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just really creative stuff. San Francisco is really fleshing out, and it's really fascinating. We've got gangs competing for the drug trade, and some of the gangs are backed by vampires, and some of them are just normal organized crime. And we've got the comfortable supernatural hangout in San Francisco is a bowling alley in the Castro that's owned and operated by a golem who's been there for centuries, and like literally before the rabbi died, his last act was to command him to make this tract of land like safe and peaceful place. And so he's been doing that, but it was supposed to have a synagogue on it, and then the rabbi died and it didn't happen, and so he's just been like guarding it as things have built on it. And then the last time it was a bowling alley, and he actually was befriended by the owner, so when the owner died he actually bequeathed it to him, so now he's the owner and operator of this bowling alley, but in reality he is simply protecting and keeping safe this tract of land as he was commanded centuries before.
Wow.
Like, we came up with that. I was like, really? That's amazing.
That's pretty good. I like that a lot, actually.
We built. Like, there was a whole bunch of crap that we got that built. By the way, Gollum's name is Roger Lutsky, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, weird stuff like that. There aren't really a lot of vampire action going on, which is a big thing for Dresden Files. Instead, we got a lot of fairies, but they're different kinds of fairies. And some of the fairies have actually started a church, like, to get mortals to worship them.
Oh.
Which is freaky. Alcatraz is a whole deal, which is very cool. Yeah, there's just all sorts of neat stuff. It's very cool. And, like, I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't have anything in mind, but I can guarantee you this is not the stuff I was expecting. So it's like, it's all doing like what I hoped it would, but it's still very scary. Because it's not a way that I have gamed, really.
Well, I'm sure it'll work out great. I mean, so far it has.
I think so, yeah. That's very cool. Good. Okay, that's really all that happened this week. So, Hat. Checking for Ezzy. She is not inside.
That's good, because I'm afraid of what... if there'd be very much left of her inside there.
It'd just be a half a 3x5 card with Ezzy on it.
Kia B.
We hear from a lot of the Kias, but very seldom from that one.
Yeah. Dear the Magical Talking Hat.
That's it.
What is the best holiday movie? Any holiday, not just Christmas.
Oh.
Huh. I'm trying to think of other holiday movies that aren't Christmas or maybe Thanksgiving.
There's some Halloween ones.
Yeah, I suppose there is.
Home for Purim is the best holiday movie. That's like far and away my least favorite Christopher Guest film. What's the film actually called? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't remember now. But the one that's all about them making a movie called Home for Purim.
Right. Did I actually see that or just parts of it? Seems like I didn't see all of that film.
So that's not it. Yeah, there's Christmas films, there's Halloween films, there's Easter films.
Are there any Easter films?
I think there are. I mean, they're mostly kids' ones. There's Independence Day. Does that count?
It's not going to win,
even if it does. It definitely won't win. In fact, I'm going to say it won't win for the best Independence Day movie, even. And I don't know that there is another one.
I think there's a... Isn't there a film called Valentine's Day, but it's a horror movie or something?
There is one called Valentine's Day, it's a horror movie. And there's one called Valentine's Day that's horrible with Gary Marshall that was just done a couple years ago.
I suppose a lot of romantic comedies might take place around Valentine's Day. I guess, yeah, there's a couple New Year's ones, maybe. There's a couple, maybe. But a lot of the ones, other ones besides the Christmas ones that have New Year's or St. Patrick's Day, whatever, in them, that's not really part of it, or it's not really made for that time of year like a lot of the Christmas ones are. Like, Christmas seems to be a big part of a lot of the Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the point. It's not just a movie set in a time where this holiday happens to take place. It seems like an important element of it if it's a Christmas movie.
Arbor Day movies that I've always liked.
Well, I mean, do you have one that you like the
one's
best?
One's jumping. I mean, I can't swear to it, but the one that immediately comes to mind is Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Christmas Story is awesome. Christmas Story, there is a channel, it might be TNT, I don't know, that has done, for a couple of years now, Christmas Story 12 times in a row, 24 hours of Christmas Story on Christmas Day.
Yeah, right.
I have found that strange. And maybe not the best idea on their part. That being said, if it was any other Christmas movie, I would say that is stupid. If you were going to do that, that's the movie you would do that with.
Well, my favorite movie of all time is It's a Wonderful Life, which
is... Because you're you.
Generally considered a holiday movie.
I think you're the only person younger than, like, 85 for whom that's their favorite movie of all time.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think it's a pretty unoriginal choice, actually. But I didn't...
Yeah, but not for people under 85.
I didn't know it was that popular when I decided it was the best movie of all
time. Did you ever see the weird made-for-TV one that did the female version?
No.
I did. It's freaky. They did it in, like, the 70s.
Okay.
And it was a woman... I don't remember if her name was Georgia Bailey or something. I don't know. And, like, it's weird because it was set in, like, the 70s or maybe the 60s. I don't know. It was set in what I think is as much more modern looking, and it was in color and everything. But it was really like a scene-for-scene remake in a lot of ways. Except the only bit I remember is the love of her life was the guy who played Trapper John on MASH. And all I remember is, you remember in It's a Wonderful Life, when he's not born, Mary is this really cold, standoffish librarian.
Yeah.
In this version, he was a mechanic who was really sleazy and, like, tried to hit on her and stuff. It was weird.
Yeah, that, naturally.
That's all I remember about it. But I do remember it being, like, just remarkably similar. Like, amazingly so.
Well, I don't really see a need to remake that film in any way, shape,
and
or form.
And that movie proves it right there, because it didn't... Yeah.
I just think it's... Well, whatever. You know how I feel about the movie, but I don't really have... I don't really have an opinion about the best holiday movie, I'm afraid. I don't mean to disappoint Kia, but you don't have any particular holiday film that... Well, I guess you said Christmas Story.
There's only one holiday film I think I ever actually saw in the theater. Unfortunately, it was named Santa Claus, so it's hard to explain which one it was. Because that's a lot. I can say I was a kid at the time, and it was the one that had Dudley Moore as an elf.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
It was weird.
I can kind of remember
at
that.
The time, I liked it. I'm not sure I would like it now.
I was always a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas, but again, that's a fairly obvious choice, I think.
Yeah.
I really like that movie.
I want to like that movie more than I do.
I always liked it.
It's good. It might go up there, yeah. I think Christmas Story, though. Really, really good movie. And a really good holiday movie. And also Christmas Carol. Certain varieties. We've discussed that before on here.
Yes, yes, yes.
The ones that don't just assume that because it's all dark and scary, the Ghost of Christmas Future must be a black guy with gold medallions.
Okay.
American Christmas Carol. I told you about that.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Oh. American Christmas Carol. Henry Winkler as Scrooge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right.
Ghost of Christmas Future. His presence is preceded by the radio suddenly playing disco music, and it's set in the 19th century America. And the disco music freaks out Scrooge, and then he shows up, and he's just a guy, a big black guy, in an open, like, to the waist leisure suit with a big gold chain.
That doesn't seem right at all, does it?
On a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Multiple levels. So that one is not it, Kia B. So just don't see that one.
Well, Kia, why don't you tell us what your best...
Yes, go to the blog, Kia, and tell us what your favorite one is. Because clearly you're just being passive-aggressive and you already had an answer for this.
Well, what I really find amazing when I read the blog sometimes is that people are often say, I can't believe you didn't mention, you know, this or that. And I often think, yeah, I can't believe we didn't mention that either. But
yeah, it gets weird sometimes. I'm like, wow, how did we miss that? Sometimes they're like, I can't believe you missed that. And I'm like, that's because you're the only person who thinks of that. But sometimes they say, I can't believe you missed this. And I'm like, yeah, were we high? Like, how did that not enter the conversation? And this feels like one of those.
Yeah, I know.
Like somebody's going to say a movie and we're going to be like,
yeah, what?
Why?
Why weren't we thinking
I
about that?
I watched that 3 days ago. Like, what's wrong with me? So, good question, but we are unable to adequately answer it.
Except with really Christmas obvious
story.
Answers.
Christmas story. Do it. Good. You will feel better. Alrighty. William, while I'm drawing one of these out here, why don't you tell people how they can get a chance to write the hat themselves?
Well, you can log on to your computer, and you can go to your email account, and you can send an email to themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. It's gmail.com, right?
It is gmail.com, right?
No, don't. Not the right part. Just themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
Right.
Correct.
Bear left. What? Bear left. Right, frog. That's cute. All right.
No, it isn't. Is it?
Yeah. Fucking Azure Talon. I don't even just call him Azure. He's always fucking Azure Talon now. Who I think is on the verge of making a honest woman out of Kim.
That's what you keep saying.
I know, but everyone, he keeps posting things on Facebook about stuff relating to the wedding. So he told me one time what her actual name is. I didn't like it, so I prefer Kim. Because Kim Talon sounds very cool. So. All right. Dear Hat Thralls. Okay. I'm going to pause there for a second. I'm going to say,
wow.
Mr. Fancy Art School, this is a podcast done by a hat that doesn't talk. One of us listens to what it has to say, even though it doesn't talk, every week. You know which one that is? It's you, mister. So who's really in thrall to the hat? It's us, isn't it? We're enthralled.
That's
that.
Us,
we're,
I guess.
We're, yeah, we're the hat.
We don't have a choice. They don't have to listen, but we always have to show
that's
up.
That's true. What? My life is a joke. All right. Dear Hat Thralls.
That's awesome.
Speak about the possibility of the existence of Bigfoot. Azure Talon.
Mm-hmm.
You mean Squatch? We talk about Squatch? Squatch like donuts, Squatch like bacon. I learned that from Bobo. Have you ever seen Finding Bigfoot?
No.
It's a TV show.
Nope.
It's a TV show they have with actual Sasquatch hunters.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazingly ridiculous.
Mm.
And guess what? They haven't found him yet.
Oh,
which is probably good, because then the show would probably be over. Something in the back of my head says you're going to have something interesting to say about this.
Well,
I feel it, so lay it on me here.
I don't know if it's interesting. Well, the possibility of the existence. Just speaking about the possibility of the existence of something is kind of an interesting proposition, isn't it?
Okay, I'm already bored.
I mean, just about anything could exist. I don't think there's any reason to say that it's that Bigfoot is, say, an impossibility. But if by Bigfoot we mean a specific, you know, the popular conception of Bigfoot in the usual places that people are prone to look, in North America especially, the possibility gets smaller and smaller all the time. I think, you know, as investigators look in places where Bigfoot is supposed to be, and they don't find any evidence at all. They don't. And it's not just they don't see Bigfoot. They don't find any
poop,
dead Bigfoot carcasses,
dead feet,
Bigfoot what scat, is, as it were.
What is Bigfoot scat? Bigfoot scat was a very short-lived jazz subgenre in Portland in the late 1970s. It was called Bigfoot scat.
So yeah, there's
it was much more gravelly than.
There's not a lot of evidence. Aside from the fact
there's a chainsaw in the background, people. That's not us.
Aside from the fact that there's very little evidence that Bigfoot exists, most of the evidence that people have put forth for the existence of Bigfoot has turned out to be fake or hoax or whatever. So,
or their cousin that was just really hairy.
Yeah, there's...
What is the plural of Bigfoot?
I don't know. Big feet, I guess. No, that doesn't make any sense.
But Bigfoot sounds stupid.
I know,
also.
But that must be the plural of it.
Bigfoot eye. Big futon. Big now, futon.
Now, there are other things...
No, wait, this is a big thing. Big futon.
No.
Is the name of my Talking Heads cover band. Why do I always go to the Talking Heads?
I don't know.
Like, every time, it's always a Talking Heads cover band. Because a Talking Heads cover band could just be named anything, I think, is what it comes down to.
Another thing to consider here is that creatures like what people claim Bigfoot is. You know,
creatures do like
what
people claim Bigfoot.
Large primate,
like a giant teddy bear. They like that.
Like large primate-like creatures that aren't, apes or whatever. More like humans than. Than, you know, say a gorilla or something. These types of creatures have been claimed to exist in lots of different places. I mean, lots of sightings, you know, the Yeti and so on. Some people dispute whether or not a creature like the Yeti and Bigfoot ought to be equated with one another, but the fact remains that a lot of the descriptions of these creatures throughout the world are very, very similar.
Captain Caveman.
Yeah, exactly. So...
Trogdor. Wait, no, he's got the big beefy arm.
Yeah, the big beefy arm. So what? It's kind of like alien abductions or UFO sightings. There's no evidence to support these things are what people say they are. On the other hand, people are reporting these things, and the people reporting them seem like they believe what they're saying, and they don't seem otherwise to be, you know, mentally ill.
You clearly have not seen Finding Bigfoot. Seriously, the main guy, honestly, something's wrong with him.
Well, anyway, so I don't know what's going on with these. Some people would say the fact that there have been sightings of these types of creatures for many years over a large geographical area in many continents or whatever is proof that they don't exist and that it's some common psychological, you know, glitch.
Bigfoot is within us.
Yeah, some kind of archetype. Wild man archetype.
Our inner Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Our inner Bigfooton.
And what's happening is people are seeing, I don't know, bears or some other creature, but because of some predisposed psychological thing, they perceive it as something that it's not.
I totally think that's bullshit. I don't believe in the existence of bears. I know people who are believers, but I think it's not. I can't buy it. So it's just a coincidence that we have these little plush toys that little kids hug, and then, oh no, there's real big versions of them that run around and eat people. Like, come on, that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you've got a point there.
Yeah, like, that's too much of a coincidence.
Because you've never actually seen a bear, have you?
No.
Except the little teddy bear.
Yeah, a teddy bear. I mean, and I've fought a teddy bear, and I usually win. It's not that difficult.
So, yeah, the possibility of the existence of Bigfoot, I don't know. There are a lot of theories about it, but until someone comes up with some definitive evidence, and the longer we go without that evidence, the less likely it is that you're going to find anything like that. And the more credence, I think, can be given to those theories that say, well, there's some psychological thing going on with so many people seeing this a similar thing in so many places.
I would say I'm a little surprised.
Why?
I really did think you would have something interesting to say.
Why did you think that? I never have anything interesting to say.
And no, not at all. So, live and learn, I guess.
Why? What did you expect I was going to say?
I don't know. I'm not sure what you said. I drifted off in the middle a little bit. So,
you don't have anything to say about the possible existence of Bigfoot? I mean, you're from the area of the country that most people think Bigfoot is from. Or
are you saying I look like Bigfoot?
I don't know what Bigfoot looks like, but...
Kind of like me.
Well, there you go.
I mean, big, hairy. My feet aren't that big, but his toenails are probably a different color, but...
You mean not black?
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. I'm serious, though. You didn't live there very... No, well, actually, you did. You grew up there. You went to high school there and everything, right?
In that part of the country? I lived there until I went to college.
That's right. So you probably heard stories. I mean, it was probably... Or was that just not something, when you're living there, you hear a lot about Bigfoot?
Well, I mean, like... I don't feel like I heard... I mean, like, it's not like the neighbors saw him.
Well, I know, but...
I don't recall going on any, like, Bigfoot walking tours. For lack of a better term. And it would have been difficult anyway, because our stride is much shorter than the average big futon. That's what he calls his people. We are the big... That's also the title of this episode. Now I just keep getting Big Country stuck in my head. Speaking of which, if your group is named Big Country, why did you call your song Big Country? That seems weird.
Well... It's not that unusual for a group to write a song that's sort of like a theme song for their band with a name.
I feel like that's like...
Like Bad Company? Didn't they had a song, Bad Company, right?
No, I think there is a song called Bad Company. I don't know that it's by Bad Company.
Oh, maybe I have that
wrong. Feel like that's just begging to be a one-hit wonder, though.
Well, maybe.
It's like It's Raining Men was done by the Weather Girls. They clearly were not planning to do anything else.
I'm not coming up with very good examples of bands who name something and then have a song that's similar name.
I think it's just those two.
No, it's happened several times. I just can't think of them right now.
Which shows you how successful a process it was.
Wait, is this the segment where I have a pop culture
and
reference?
Then gives and then up. Big Futon 2012, people.
But you don't have any other thoughts about Big Futon?
No, like, I don't...
Why did you think I'd have anything interesting to say about Bigfoot? I mean, what else is there to say besides what I said?
Because you really went kind of weird and apeshit on us last time about aliens, so I find that fun.
But you didn't think that was interesting either.
I thought it was hilarious. Because I was hoping you would trade out Bigfoot for another conspiracy theory.
I don't have a conspiracy theory.
Maybe Bigfoot... are actually just experimental military ground craft.
Look, it's not a conspiracy theory to say that the United States experiments with aircraft. That's a fact. They do. Everybody knows that.
I believe, somebody would have to look at the record, that you actually said that some of the things that people were seeing that they were UFOs were clearly just experimental military craft.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
That sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Well, it's not a conspiracy. It's just the United States isn't going to tell you, yeah, that was an experimental aircraft. They're going to, I don't know.
Cover it up.
But they don't have to cover it up. They
want
just,
you to know.
They just have to not talk about it, which is all they ever did. That's another thing that I find really funny about this UFO stuff is, oh, there's a cover. What's being covered up? They're just not telling you what it was. They're just not talking about it at all. That's not a cover up. That's they're not talking about something that's obviously secret.
This is more fun. I like it when you get all lone gunman nut job on me here.
But I'm not. I'm not talking about a conspiracy. I'm talking about...
Calm down. Calm down, William. The truth is out there, I'm sure. But I don't have it. You don't think I'm hiding from you, do you?
I don't believe in any conspiracies at all. I do believe that the United States does things that they don't tell us about. I don't have to believe it on faith. It's a fact. And it's just one of those things. In fact, most people are glad that the United States doesn't tell everything that they're doing in terms of military testing.
Like what they're putting in the water.
Well, no, I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about testing weapons or aircraft. I think the thing that you
what about Hulk?
You picked on was the thing I said about Nikola Tesla's research being...
Also awesome.
Illegally taken. Because that did happen. And the ships that people reported seeing looked suspiciously like some of the things that Tesla had in his documents. Now, I suppose you could say that's a little bit conspiracy theory-like, but all I'm saying is that they decided to try some of Tesla's stuff out. I mean, no big deal. But they're not going to tell you that's what they're doing. And why would we expect them to? It's the U.S. military. They're going to keep some secrets, as probably they should, because if they didn't, well, then our enemies would know all our secrets.
For those of you who can't hear, because I have a dry whistle at the moment, I'm trying to whistle the X-Files theme. And failing.
I'm very much, you know, most conspiracies that people talk about, I'm willing to listen to them, but most of them just sound to me like gibberish. And when I investigate them myself, I come up with perfectly reasonable explanations that don't rely on any type of conspiracy whatsoever, unless you think that the U.S. government keeping secrets about their you know, their weapons testing and stuff is a conspiracy, which I don't. I think that's just what nations do. They just don't reveal all their secrets.
What if the Big Futon are the genetically engineered pilots of the secret spacecraft?
No. I don't have a problem with the notion, you know, cryptozoology in general. I don't have a problem with any of these creatures existing, but there's got to be a way to find them or find evidence that they exist. And if
I thought that's what geocaching was about.
if a decent investigation is done and you find nothing, well, it's probably not there.
Okay. You really have to stop with your whack job conspiracy theories, or we're not going to get a chance for another question. Okay? Are you ready to move on?
Yes.
All right.
You really thought I'd say, well, the government is experimenting with stuff and...
I'm not...
How could you even think that?
Check this out. When you do the test, that's the blood draw site. How bad is that? Look at that crap.
It's a little purple dot.
No, look at that whole thing there.
Okay, whatever.
It's bad.
Oh, I hate it when it has digestive juices on it. That's gross.
That is gross.
That's from Mark McKibben.
Oh. Then, if you go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, after this episode is posted... You may end up seeing him reposting his question in full, because sometimes they do that.
Well, the only person I know of who's done that is Blood Sparrow.
I thought Mark did it. I know Blood Sparrow's done it.
Oh, maybe Mark did it.
I thought Mark had done it. I don't remember, though.
Oh, this is specifically to you.
To me. All right. I am ready. Like the amazing Karnak, do you want me to give the answer first?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Only one leg.
Okay. The question is, I recall you being a Castle fan. Have you read any Nikki Heat books?
Only read one leg
of
them.
All right, well, that's answered.
I have not. I am a Castle fan.
I watch Castle, but I don't know if I'd call myself a
fan. You still watch Castle? I'm surprised.
Yes.
You were not happy with Castle.
And I'm still not, but...
I have come to terms with... Castle not being a good quality show. I've also come to terms with Leverage not being a good quality show. That being said, I consider them both highly entertaining, and I love them both.
But you haven't read any Nikki Heat books. I didn't even know there were any Nikki Heat books.
Yeah, that was part of the thing. This is how we do synergy and stuff, is basically every book Richard Castle has written since the show started. Like, not the stuff that was already written when the show started, all the Derek Storm stuff, but all the stuff since then, which is the Nikki Heat books, when he finishes them on the show, they're actually released.
Oh.
So I believe two of them are out now, and then theoretically, if he ever finishes Frozen Heat, then
the ones that he supposedly wrote before, they don't exist, and nobody's...
The Derek Storm ones, they don't exist as novels. I think they are starting to exist as graphic novels.
Oh.
Because that's a... Here's what I know. On the show, they were making comic books of some of his books. And in real life, they actually made some graphic novels to go with it. And I think they were the Derek Storm ones. They could also be Nikki Heat, but I don't think so. I think they're Derek Storm. But no, I haven't read any of that. I couldn't get behind the concept of the pretend author's book too much. And I don't know. It sounded like, you know, trashy mystery novels, which is just not something I normally read, so... If they're good, Mark, if you think they're good, if you've read them, let me know, and maybe I'll check them out.
Because
they might just be a good page-turner.
I liked the... Now, there wasn't one on Monday, right? Or was there...
I don't know. We DVR it, so I'm behind.
I liked the one that had... the one they had recently with...
Adam Baldwin.
What?
Adam Baldwin. They had one recently that guest starred Adam Baldwin.
Oh.
Jane from Firefly.
Oh, that's his actual name?
I couldn't remember the actor's name.
But I like that
one. And he's not related to the Baldwins.
Yeah, I realize that. But that was that's the first Castle episode since it started that I've liked.
How much of this show have you watched, first of all?
I've watched every episode since it started.
Why have you watched into fourth season if you've not ever liked an episode?
Well... that's a complicated question. I don't watch it by myself. There's actually a lot of shows that I've watched or am watching that I wouldn't watch if it was just me.
Okay.
But I watch with other people.
Hobos mostly.
When the show first started, I thought the premise was pretty interesting, and I thought they handled that whole thing about him being a writer pretty well. I mean, still one of my favorite scenes in the show was like in the first one or two shows where he's in the car pretending he's driving it in a chase scene. I thought that was brilliant. But, you know, the reason I like this so much was because, you know, here was a character interacting with him like he's a writer. You know, treating him like he's a writer, not treating him like he's a partner, or it's okay that he goes in to a house without any backup and just one other person with a gun. Or, actually, I liked how he gave him a gun in that one situation, you know, and told him to go in the front. That seemed like that worked for those two characters interacting. And that made sense to me. And also, it seemed like the help he provided in the case relied in some realistic way on his being a writer. Because I always thought that what they really need to capitalize on is this whole thing. He's written all these mystery novels, and he's had to do a lot of research with...
So he has a lot of context.
Yeah, people who aren't cops. And he can get to talk to people that won't talk to the cops.
Yeah.
To me, that's what they should have kept it that way from the beginning, and they didn't. But I thought the last show was really good, and one of the best shows they've had in a long, 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 long time.
I liked it fine. It didn't particularly jump out at me. I will say this. It needs to not last much longer.
The series?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's run its course in a lot of ways. I mean, I will still watch it, but maybe fifth season, you stop. And I know shows don't do that. As long as it's popular, they won't.
They run it
into the ground, but I feel like it's done its bit. And the thing is, we are, especially this season, we are stretching the will-they-won't-they shit to just...
Yeah, I wondered if you were going to bring that up.
Ridiculous. I mean, I am fully expecting to see an episode where they both have finally decided to profess their love to one another, and one of them has a cold that day, and because they're all snotty, the other person can't bring them to do it, and so then they decide to call it off forever, at least for a couple of episodes. They're really just coming up with weak-ass reasoning now to not, like, I am seriously having flashbacks to Who's the Boss at this point. And that's the other reason I say maybe for the season, because once, I understand moonlighting and all that, once you get them together, you have got one more season tops before the show's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I'm really getting tired of that. I love them all. Don't get me wrong. Nathan, Captain, I love you. But really, need to deal with this. I was also a little bit sad when the coroner and Esposito broke up.
Yeah, well.
I liked them as a couple.
You did? Yeah.
Did not last real long. Yeah. I liked them, though.
I guess. I don't really care about coupling up in shows. I usually find that annoying.
I don't if I think they make a good couple.
Whatever. It seems to distract from, you know, the more interesting aspects of the story for me. But that's the way.
There are no more interesting aspects to Castle. It's not a very good crime procedure.
No, it really isn't.
It's better than, say, Once Upon a Time as a crime procedural, or Grimm. Lord help us, Grimm as a police procedural. I don't think anybody on the Grimm show has even ever seen a cop in person. Of course, I stopped watching, so I don't know. But Once Upon a Time is really jamming it home for the season finale.
Yeah.
Shit is getting real. Well, fairy tale, but still, like, people are fucking dying, things are getting nasty, people are remembering things, like, it's all going down now.
As we've been watching that show, I can't help but wonder, so what's going to happen when, you know, key people remember?
Know.
I mean, where's all the fun in the show?
Be the
once
next season, yeah.
Because once everybody knows what's going on,
well,
who cares?
I have two theories.
Okay.
Well, I actually kind of have three theories now.
Okay.
Because we did this a little bit with Legend of the Seeker, which was based off of the Terry Goodkin sort of truth books. So I don't blame the TV show for doing this, because this is what actually happened in the books. The first book of that series pretty much matches what happened in the first season of that TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened at the end of that, we defeated the villain, and we freed the kingdom, and we did everything we set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
For second season, we found out that so-and-so was just a pawn for a much bigger, huge, godlike villain, and we had to deal with his shit now.
Mm-hmm.
So, my theories are, the first one I always had, is that we finished with the Evil Queen, and it all becomes about Rumpelstiltskin.
Well, hasn't it always been about him anyway?
Yeah, but it can get worse.
Oh, I see. Well,
you know, because he has powers and shit. My second thought is that they just suck at it and do something where, like, some Deus Ex Machina happens and everybody forgets for the next season. Don't laugh. That is probably the most likely thing.
Oh, well, maybe.
Because they pull that shit all the time. Need I remind you, first season Witchblade?
Yeah, you need to remind me because I didn't watch Witchblade.
Everybody died throughout that season. And then in the season finale, Witchblade chick used her powers to turn back everything to literally the first scene of the first episode. Which, had it been the end of the show, I think would have been kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
I've seen series that have ended that way before. But then they had another season, which I did not watch. Which apparently was bad, because the actress in that was a severe alcoholic, and apparently she became... That's why it ended after two seasons, because she was just a mess to deal with.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad, because she was really good, too.
Oh.
So those are my two theories. The third theory, which we'll find out soon, because he's finally sort of... is mysterious biker dude.
Mm-hmm.
We could have all sorts of shit with him. He could be Satan or who knows. Like,
no, I think he's Pinocchio grown up or something.
We'll have to see.
Just based on the previews I saw on the last show. I probably shouldn't even say that, because if it's totally wrong, then I'm going to be on record of guessing this ridiculous thing.
And but the previews,
made it seem like that somehow, but I don't know. Or maybe, I don't know what it, who he is.
He does appear to be a real live boy.
Yeah.
All right, so hope that didn't bore those of you who don't watch Operation Cobra.
Yeah, that concerns me sometimes when we talk about these TV shows that aren't very good. I really wouldn't blame anyone for not watching
At this point, if they're listening to us, we can't be too concerned, because they clearly don't follow human standards of decency. Or
yeah, or why would they be listening?
Good use of their time.
That's right. So. What was I thinking?
We appreciate it nonetheless. Mm-hmm. The more so mm-hmm. that you've sacrificed your own sanity to listen to us for about an hour each week. And we love you for that. And that's the way it should be.
Sometimes more than an hour.
Sometimes we love you for more than an hour. Well, yeah, tonight we're over an hour five, and that's without intro and outro. So we should really stop.
Yeah, probably.
Forever. But we're not going to. We're going to come back next week. Yep, but we'll stop for now. So write to the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Like the hat on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter @notquitetony. And have a good week.
Oh, and thanks, Mark, Kia, and Dasher Talon.
Yes. And we'll see you next week.
Next week.
In a big futon dream, stay with you like a love.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.